some magnificent gates fixed onto the side of our house. Is it coming? Cool. Check this out, everyone. Any minute now. Just have to wait, because I really need to see these gates. Okay, it's on that screen there. What happened? Okay, if you want to see these gates, there's two pictures that you need to see. Come on up this end. Oh, it feels... And have a look at the gates there. Can you see those gates? Yay! That made a move, didn't it? Hallelujah. One day they won't be able to do that because there'll be no room down this end for them. Okay, classy gates, huh? Boardwalk, really good gates. Now, the gates were fitted because of these two incredibly vicious dogs. Could I have the next picture? May I introduce you to 14-year-old Buddy and 7-month-old Caleb. Caleb's a really good name for a dog. Do you know what it means? It's Hebrew for dog. Okay. Well, these ferocious pair of dogs cost us some new gates. Originally, the old wooden gates were positioned in front of the electrical meter box. So when the synergy worker came to check our electricity usage, they'd have to open the wooden gate, take 2 steps into the backyard to get the meter reading. However, if Buddy and Caleb happened to be roaming the grounds with their little stealth-like bodies, at the time the synergy worker came, we'd end up with a note in our meter box telling us the meter couldn't be read because of the dogs. And so we'd get an estimation bill. It was so annoying. So we were forced into action. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars later, not only did we build new gates, but we shifted the gates. The synergy workers no longer have to endanger their lives by entering our property. This little scenario reminded me of a true account relating to Samson in the Old Testament, and it is this story we're illuminating today. Will you pray with me? Lord, may your presence be evident in this place as your word is preached. We want to learn from you. May we say yes and amen to everything your Holy Spirit would teach us. And all the honor, all the glory, all the praise be yours forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Turn with me to Judges 16, verses 1 to 3. Actually, we've got it up here. This is Pamela's version. Jordan often comes up, he goes, "What version are you using today?" And I said, "Oh, New International / New American Standard / Pamela Paraphrase." One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Obviously, we're not using Samson today as an example of holiness. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with 2 posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Now the people of Gaza were, of course, who? Who were they? The Philistines. Everyone say Philistines. The name itself sounds evil, doesn't it? Philistines. I've talked about the Philistines before. The Philistines were a brutal race of people who hated the Israelites because they wanted the land the Israelites possessed. In 1070 BC, the Philistines had been successful enough to infiltrate part of Israel and were dominating the tribes of Dan and Judah. Israel had 12 tribes. Two of them were being oppressed or dominated by the Philistines. Although the Israelites didn't like the Philistines, they tolerated it because there were certain economic advantages to them being there. But the insidious nature of this domination was a major threat to Israel's continued independence. Israel, as of yet, didn't have a king. It didn't have a king. Israel was supposed to be a theocracy, governed by God through holy men called judges. Read the book of Judges. It's all about God caring for Israel through spirit-inspired men and a woman known as judges. When reading the book of Judges, you quickly realize that Israel's history throughout this period of time was erratic. When they were obedient to God, doing life his way, they experienced good times of prosperity and peace. But when they turned away from God, their king, violent people groups like the Philistines and the Midianites would oppress them and treat them badly. Israel, at this point, around 1070 BC, was being oppressed by the Philistines. Onto the scene enters Samson. Someone said he would have had big muscles. I wonder, maybe he was really skinny. We don't know. Samson takes center stage. Samson's activities were significant in this life. You see, Samson was chosen by God to be a Nazarite who would judge Israel. As I've already mentioned, Israel in these times didn't have a king. They had a judge because God was supposed to be their king, like he's our king. Amen? Now, not every judge was a Nazarite. A Nazarite was someone who was consecrated or set apart as being holy. They made various vows before God that set them apart from others. For example, they were to abstain from strong drink. They never cut their hair. I could be a little bit of a Nazarite. And they were not to touch or come into contact with anything that was dead. Of all the conditions required by the Nazarite vow, Samson took only one seriously, and that was the one concerning his hair. He never allowed anyone to cut his hair. And I figure out of all of them, that would have been the easiest one, don't you reckon? Maybe he was just too lazy to go to the hairdressers like me. He broke all the other vows, but not the one concerning his hair. But there was something else that was special about Samson. And I don't really like to say this because of the kind of character I have. I think integrity is very important. Despite his appalling morals, it is clear from Scripture that he had enough faith to allow the Spirit of God to use him in miraculous ways to fight against the Philistines. Go figure! I don't know why God included this one in the Scripture, but he did, because that's what happened. And maybe there was absolutely no one. It makes you feel sorry for the Israelites, doesn't it? If their judge, the one who's supposed to be the closest to God, is like this. Doesn't say much for the rest, does it? In the New Testament book of Hebrews, it includes Samson amongst the heroes of faith. Interesting. He was unholy in his personal life, but somehow he had enough faith to enable the power of God to perform amazing acts of strength within himself so he could fight against the enemy of God's chosen people. And the Philistines hated him for it. They loathed Samson. By the time of this story, Samson had already been responsible for burning the Philistines' valuable crops at harvest time, which included expensive vineyards and olive groves. He had also, on one occasion, single-handedly struck down 1,000 Philistine men with the jawbone of a donkey. That's amazing. That's amazing. This one single, solo Israelite man with long hair was making a fool out of the Philistines, and the Philistines wanted him badly. They wanted to bring him down. So when they heard that he was in the city of Gaza visiting a Philistine prostitute, the Philistines thought that they had him trapped. Come on, boys, let's surround this city. We've got him! We've got him! But hey, what's the rush? He's not going anywhere. Let's wait for him to come out in the morning. He'll be coming out through the city gates. Now, I've explained in sermons before, there were certain cities in this period of time which were extremely fortified. They were surrounded by massive wards which included enormous gates. You can read the Bible for yourself. There are stories of cities being under siege for 3 years or more. The enemy surrounded cities but couldn't get in because of the thickness of the walls and the size of the gates. So often the enemy of the city would have to play a waiting game. They'd have to wait for the people in the city under siege to starve. It was only their hunger that would eventually force them out through the gates and allow the enemy to come in. Well, the Philistines assumed Samson couldn't get out by any other way than through the city gates. Good assumption. It was the only way out. So they said, let's get him in the broad daylight, just as he's coming through those gates. This way, this is the Pamela version, we'll be able to see the terrified look on his face when we torture him. That's what they were really thinking, because they were Philistines. But Samson, being a man of war, knew exactly what they were up to. He knew they'd be waiting for him. He was well aware they hated him. And to be quite honest with you, he seemed to enjoy their disdain. He enjoyed it. He taunted the enemy like no other judge before or after him. And so, as the Bible tells us, in the middle of the night, he got up, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I don't know whether he felt it or not. Sometimes you don't feel the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. You just know that the Spirit is upon you. We don't go by feelings. We go by faith. And I think he just got up and he knew God was with him because he had long hair. That's it. That's about the place of his faith was at. God's with him. I have because I've got long hair. He headed straight for those city gates. And I'm wondering if he was laughing as well as he's heading for the city gates. While the enemy were lying in wait, snoring their heads off. And he, Samson, took hold of the city gates together with the posts and tore them loose, bar and all. And then he carried those gates to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. To the top of the hill that faces Hebron. We're not talking little gates here. We're not talking the size. We've got pretty big gates, but they're much bigger than them. We're talking huge city gates. Gates that are there to stop the enemy from entering the city. He tore them out. Posts and all, lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill. He defied physical law and he dumped them right there for all to see. Can you imagine the frustration and embarrassment of the Philistines who'd been lying in wait for him? They thought they had Samson in the palm of their hand. They were pretty cocky. They were confident. There were many of them. I reckon they'd send in their best men too, by the way. Their elite forces, the Marines, the ones who couldn't possibly fail. They had him surrounded. The gates were locked. They couldn't lose. But Samson had made a fool of them all. I can imagine some of the folk in the city waking up in the morning and laughing at the spectacle that met their eyes. The belittled Philistine soldiers would have been standing there, scratching their heads in amazement and embarrassment. Oh no! Samson didn't just sneak past them quietly, opening the gate and tiptoeing through to get away from the enemy. No, 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 no. He showed them exactly who was in control of the situation. He had no fear of the Philistines. There was no doubt in his mind who was more powerful. As far as he was concerned, the power of the Spirit of God was on him. And the Philistines were nothing in comparison. The Philistines were nothing. He tore out those city gates with their posts and shifted them to the top of a hill. He didn't throw them down into the valley to use gravity like I might have done. Use gravity to get it down. He went against gravity. He took them to the top of a hill where they stood as a lesson to every Philistine in Gaza. He made a spectacle of them. You know, from this story, I get a feeling that Samson had a sense of humour. He was naughty, but he had a sense of humour. And for that matter, so does God. He does. God makes a spectacle of the enemy. Yeah, I've said this before, but in one of my lowest times ever, when I thought not one more bad thing could happen, and it did, I can remember sitting on my bed on my own, and I suddenly started to laugh. I laughed and I laughed, because I suddenly saw what it was all about. It was the enemy trying to destroy me personally. And I must be pretty important to him to want to do it. And I suddenly, the joy of the Lord just overwhelmed me. And all the stuff that was piling on top of me suddenly went, you know, like a balloon. Sometimes you might blow a balloon up for a kid and you haven't tied it at the end and it goes. That's a bit like satanic powers. It's one big hot air balloon if you're a Christian. Just go and it might go. That's what my laughter did that day for me. Yeah, I just went in to a new realm because I saw what was really going on. God makes a spectacle of the enemy. I can just imagine the Philistine soldiers being ordered to get up the hill quickly and drag their gates back down because the city was embarrassed and totally vulnerable without the gates. And I'm sure the soldiers would have been cursing their false god Dagon all the way up the hill. And I bet you they needed like 100 soldiers to try and drag the jolly thing back down and horses and whatever else there was. He didn't just walk through the gates. Samson shifted them. He moved them away. He got rid of them. Got the picture, everyone? Samson shifted the gates. Samson shifted the gates. Okay, now turn with me to another scripture. Matthew 16, verse 18 to 19. Jesus, speaking to Peter, says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, or Petros, little rock." That's what Peter means, a little rock. "And upon this rock, or Petra, big rock, meaning Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. Just like the Philistines oppressed the Israelites back in the Old Testament times, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is constantly being confronted and attacked by satanic powers. That's you people. You're the church. That's me. The gates of Hades in this scripture represents the councils of the satanic powers. There are evil, destructive powers constantly at play all around the world, all the time. News clearly demonstrates that fact, doesn't it? There's evil stuff happening everywhere. The council of satanic powers in this area where we are don't like this church, or any other church for that matter. They don't. That's a given for any minister. They don't like us praying. They don't like us preaching. They don't like us praising and worshiping God. They don't like us giving to his kingdom. They hate us giving to missions. They don't like us caring and valuing each other. They certainly hate our Christian unity. Oh, it gets right up their nose. Anything we do for the sake of glorifying God and valuing people is hated by the powers of darkness. Why? Because they're scared. They're really, really scared of the power of God. And the power of God works in every single one of those that I've just mentioned in ways that you don't even know and haven't seen. Well, just like the Philistines hated Samson and attempted to bring him down, this scripture we've just read implies that the gates of Hades, the council of satanic powers, continually confronts and attempts to assault the church which Christ is building. They never let up. They're always trying to assault the church. However, according to the words of Jesus, the good news is, listen to me, we have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And this was beautiful because it was prayed in the prayer meeting before the meeting. If we have the keys to something, it implies we can use the keys to unlock and enter, and whatever is in there is ours to use. Is that not right? When I married Luke, he gave me the keys to his house. His house became my house, and now I can enter and use whatever I want. Even the blue hot rod car. Which I wouldn't, darling. I think he might have hidden that key. When someone gives you the keys, they are entrusting you with whatever is in the place that they give you the keys to. Well, Jesus says, get a load of this, we've been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which means this church has access to the powers of heaven now. We can enter in now, so that if we bind something here on earth according to the will of God, for the glory of God and his purpose, God
has already bound it in the spiritual realm.
If we loose something here on earth according to the will of God, for God's glory and his purpose, God has already loosened it in the spiritual realm of heaven. In other words, if we need the gates of Hades shifting in Carlisle, we shift them. We shift them. God has already set us free, but we have to continually use the keys. Where's your key? You know, years ago, Trudy wrote a list that talked about who has the keys in the church. That list was passed on to Vicky, and she is scary when she holds that list. Who's got what key? Have they signed it in? Have they signed it out? And if you've lost your key, you better watch out, because she will know. She wants to know where the keys are. Where's your spiritual keys? What are you doing with them? Are you using them? Tell you the truth, if Samson couldn't help us, we should have no excuse. One of the keys Samson used was that of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Samson showed no fear. He operated in faith. Faith isn't just hoping, it's knowing that God will carry through. The Philistines were nothing to Samson. He made fools of them. We too, as a church, must operate in faith. That's one of the keys. How did you become a child of God and have access to heaven in the first place? By your faith in his grace to save you. Salvation gives you access to the kingdom of heaven. Salvation came through faith in Jesus Christ. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Through the Spirit of God, we too can pull out those gates and posts and shift them. This is our ground. Yes, we can see a few Philistines around the place. But this is our ground. When we were praying this morning, I had this real sense that every prayer we pray isn't just for our little church. It's for all those sinners out there that really need the prayer. Quite frankly, you don't really need me to pray for you. You can pray for yourself. I will. I care, okay? I care. But it's true, isn't it? You've got the key of faith. You pray for yourself. They need a load of prayer out there. Do you know today there'll be some people probably who are contemplating suicide. There are people who are shooting drugs. There are people thinking about molesting their children. There are people being bombarded out there from lies, from the enemy. That's all the enemy has is lies. And they're being bombarded and controlled and manipulated by something that's evil. Why don't we pray for the something that is good to come into this area and touch everybody? Do you know why Jesus went to heaven? So that the Holy Spirit could come to us. And do you know what the job of the Holy Spirit is? When he touches you, he brings judgment. And he convicts people of their sin. People realize, hey, I've done the wrong thing by God. I need his forgiveness. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. Well, why don't we pray that on our neighborhood? Stop wasting time on prayers about yourself. Pray about someone that really, really, really needs it. We just need to exercise our faith a bit more about ourselves. And by the way, I've noticed that those people who really, really pray for others, God takes care of stuff in themselves anyway, the important stuff. Through the Spirit of God, we can pull out those gates and posts and shift them.
This is his ground. The feats of this church, which is built on Jesus, not built on me. This church was founded and built by the Lord Jesus Christ, have already greatly embarrassed the satanic powers in this area. Do you know that? They were really disappointed a couple of years ago. Mammothly disappointed. They thought that their onslaught could totally just obliterate this church, but it didn't. The same spirit that came upon Samson has been promised to you. Joel 2, verse 28, and all those Pentecostal Christians really know this scripture. It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, not just a few individuals like Samson's, but all mankind. And your sons and daughters, hallelujah, will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, even on the servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Satan bluffs us into thinking he is more powerful than the Holy Spirit who is in us. He's bluff. We are shifting spiritual gates and fences all around Carlisle and have been doing so for the last 12 years. We've been doing it, people. We're going to continue, but with more aggressiveness to set people free right around the world. You know, I reckon by the end of this year, we would have pledged 50,000 to our missions. We're over 45,000 now. Does that mean we're having an effect right around the world? We are a church of influence. We're affecting good things right around the world for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. People, we're just scratching at the... Don't like the way I do scratching with my bandage? Hello. We're just scratching. I don't know if you can hear it. At the surface of the vastness of God's spiritual realm. There is so much more for us. We need to continue to... This is really tricky with this head. Hold the keys and use them. The keys of faith. Truth. Truth. Samson didn't have that in himself. Righteousness, he certainly didn't have that. Righteousness, peace, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. That's your access to heaven. They get you into the heavenly realm. Samson could have been so much more. Of all that God had given him, I just don't get him. Do you? Him and Saul, that's so sad. Of the obvious blessing that was upon his life, he could have done so much more. He could have done. He could. A little like some of his Christians, don't you think? I could do more. We all could do more in the spiritual realm. Come on, City View Church. Let's take hold of the keys of the kingdom of heaven and shift some gates. Let's continue to make some disciples. Let's continue to baptize people. Let's teach them the way. We have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's use it. Is that a good sermon or what? I've spoken to myself this morning. Hallelujah. Are you with me on this? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray for us all. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word. Your word is so deep. Oh, Lord, it is wonderful. And Lord, I thank you that you have spoken to us all today. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit is right here, right now, speaking to every single one of us. And Lord, I pray that we will listen and be obedient in every way to your word. Lord, we want to see your power in this area. Oh God, we want to see you set people free. We really, really, really want want to see the power of your kingdom in Carlisle, where we worship, where we are your royal priesthood. We want to see your power manifest, Lord. So Holy Spirit, come. Convict the hearts of everybody around this church building, we pray. Stop those people who are contemplating suicide. Stop those people who are contemplating drugs. Lord, I pray that you will set them free with the conviction of your Holy Spirit upon their life. Lord, I pray this year we will see an increase in the power of the Spirit working in this church. Lord, we thank you for the past. We thank you that you've been faithful to us. You are a faithful God and you've seen us through times. But God, we just thank you for the future too. We thank you for what you're doing now on the mission field. We thank you for what you're going to do tomorrow. We thank you that you're going to use everybody in this place for the good of the cross. So Lord Jesus Christ, just work through each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest in this place, Lord. Even for the babes in the womb today that are in this place, I pray that you would touch them with the power of your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, they will live a life that is pleasing to you and have a conscience towards you. Lord, for our children in Children's Church, Father, I pray that they will live their lives pleasing to you and have a conscience towards you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will use this church from the youngest to the oldest for the glory of your kingdom. And Lord, we want to see people set free. Amen. Amen. Have you got a nice song for us as we finish, Daniel?